From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
Good Tuesday to you. Welcome to the Bill Michaels Show. We are glad you are here. Radio Joe Zanzola producing the program. Evan Heffelfinger here as well. And if you want to get a hold of the program, so many different ways to do so. Thanks to all of you listening to us on the radio.com app, by the way. But if you want to chime in, feel free to go ahead and do it. You can. Plenty of ways to get a hold of us. 855-830-8648. 855-830-8648. Chime in there. You can also find us over on Twitter at @Bill_Michaels, @Bill_Michaels, @RadioJoeSports, @EvanHeff25. That's the Facebook fan page. Go to Facebook.com/TheBillMichaelsShow and look for the blue check mark there. The Instagram is TheRealBillMichaels, YouTube as well. Go to BillMichaelsSports.com for the website. They let one get past them last night. Woodruff with a solid outing, and the Brewers get knocked off by Cincinnati, and Cincinnati sort of pouring the runs on late. But nevertheless, look, and I said this last night in the piece that I did for the network, so if you've already heard this, I apologize. But every time they get there, they sniff it, they see it, they taste it. You're like, okay, here you go. In seven times, the Brewers have had a chance to climb over 500 this year. Seven times. They have failed on every attempt. The Brewers have never been over 500. They have never been over 500. They got doubled up last night, 6-3. Plated a couple runs in the bottom, or in the top of the ninth, I should say. But all of it was for naught. Woodruff, 5 2/3, giving up four hits, just a couple of runs. Gave up the one long ball, but had nine strikeouts in the effort. Got to 100 on the pitch count, threw 59 strikes. Nibbled a little bit too much last night, in my opinion. But Woodruff, they just can't win when he's on the hill. You know, and he's, look, I had people arguing last night whether he's an ace or a two or a three. Who cares? He's thrown extremely well. 3.43 ERA on the season and has thrown extremely well. And whether he's a one or a two, it doesn't matter. They can't get past him, and they can't get enough wins for this guy. What is it, 5-7? I think is what he is in the season or something like that. And he's thrown, like I said, thrown the ball well. Just last night, I think he picked a little bit too much, but he only gave up two runs in 5 2/3 innings. You don't ask for a whole lot more than that. Rasmussen came in and just got shelled last night. Comes in and just 2/3 of an inning, gives up three hits, four runs, two bombs, and just looked bad in doing it. Just looked bad in doing it. So the Brewers, they get there, they sniff it. It's right there. All you got to do, get a win. And they can't do it. They just can't get over the top. They get to that 500 mark. You know what this feels like? When Ned Yost first came to town, Ned Yost was on my program, and Ned came up a lot. Ned was really, really good with the media and really wanted to re-indoctrinate himself back into the Milwaukee culture, and came on the show a lot. And Ned kept telling me, just you got to get over that 500 mark. Once you get over it, then, you know, you get a couple of games, and then you breathe, and then everything just starts to lighten up, and then you start to play your game. And, you know, I remember when it was a big deal for the Brewers to get over 500. Huge. Just to get to 500, because his team had been so bad for such a long time. This is not the team. This is not a bad team. This is not a bad franchise. But every time they get to 500, they just stumble on themselves. They just can't get it done. 855-830-864. This is it. Does this feel weird or what? Now, this would be the normal end, for the most part, of the baseball season anyway. But this is the last week of baseball, and the Brewers still have five games with the St. Louis Cardinals upcoming, so they still have a way to make some inroads into this thing. But just every time they get to 500, they just set yourself up for failure. Now, if they win today and then win tomorrow, okay, so be it. But the pattern has been you'll lose today, maybe you'll lose tomorrow, get 2-3 games under 500, then you'll climb back and you'll be right there, and then you'll stub your toe again. That's the way it's been all season long. That's the way it's been all season long. 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. Now, I will say this, because I had people tweeting me last night. I was watching both games. I was watching in the bar. I had on one television, I had the Brewers game, and on the other one, I had the Monday night game. And we'll get into that coming up. But I'm sitting there, and people are tweeting at me going, Woodruff's not a number one. This team is this. This team is never going to hit. Ryan Braun, by the way, has been extremely clutch, especially the numbers that Joe gave yesterday, where he's hitting damn near 400 in the month of September. And when you look at his power numbers, he's hitting in slugging percentage, he's hitting over 600 in the month of September. His numbers have been huge. He came up with an opportunity with Christian Yelich on first base last night and grounded into the double play. That seems to be part of the way this season has gone for this team. But I'm not sitting there pointing the finger at Ryan Braun. Ryan Braun has had a hell of a career. Ryan Braun has had a decent season, especially the second half. Because look where both he and Christian Yelich were batting at one point. I mean, way down at the bottom. Down around the 190 to 220 mark. I mean, they were hanging there all season long, and now they've really, or he's at least really picked it up. But still, it's just, it's so... They just get there, and then, damn, just don't get it done. Just don't get it done. But the saving grace is the Cardinals lost. And the Cardinals are still – now the Reds are tied with the Cardinals for the second spot. So these are big games with Cincinnati too. But the Brewers right now – because Cincinnati, the 28 and 27 mark, they're 4.5 games back. The Brewers 26 and 27. 5.5 games back, but the Cardinals are also 4.5 games back at 26 and 25. So right now, the Brewers have the least winning percentage. They got a 491 winning percentage, Cincinnati with a 509, and the Cardinals with a 510. But games need to be made up, and the Brewers still have an opportunity here. There's still hope. Hope still springs eternal. The problem is that every time you get there, you get punched in the face. 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. If you want to chime in, go ahead and do it. Go ahead and do it. Again, 855-830-8648. Give us a shout. You can also hit us up over there on Facebook. You can hit us up on Twitter. All those kind of good ways to get a hold of the program. Good ways to get a hold of the program. This one comes to us. Mark, right out of the chute today, says, just can't be a big-time Brewers fan right now. Too much football going on. The Brewers lost me earlier this season. I'm not going to get into all that. I have been disappointed in this team. They just have not been able to come up with clutch hits at key moments. They are missing too many offensive pieces. When are we going to get a real first baseman? That's been something that we go into every season and talk about, first base being the position that needs to be taken care of. Your power positions of first and third have not been stable for a while. Your outfield has been solid, but your corner positions on the infield have not been stable for a while. 855-830-8648. This portion of the program is brought to you by our good friends over there at Bud Light and Bud Light Seltzer. Bud Light Seltzer, by the way, it is brewed with a unique 5-step filtration process, and that ensures a cleaner finish and no lingering aftertaste and only 100 calories. By the way, no Bud Light beer actually in the seltzer, just so you know. I get to ask that all the time. No beer in the seltzer. It's just brewed by Bud Light. Flavors of cranberry, grapefruit, pineapple, strawberry as well. Go to BudLight.com. That is BudLight.com. So we'll talk some Brewers when we come back. Also, last night I got into the Twitterverse as well, watching the other game that was on. And one thing that I pulled out of that game, even though it turned out differently than what I had thought, but I was sitting there scratching my head, and if you were following me on Twitter last night, you know what it is I'm about to talk about. Plus, Mo Egger of ESPN 1530 down in Cincinnati, he will join us coming up here at the bottom of the hour. At the top of the next hour, Adam McAlvey of Brewers.com and MLB.com. We'll talk with Adam about this team down the stretch. Ryan Wood of the Green Bay Press Gazette makes his weekly visit. Talk more Packers. Michael Lombardi, former Cleveland Browns GM, Radio.com Sports NFL Insider, he is going to be here today as well. We have a big one. All on deck for you, so stay tuned. We got more of the Bill Michaels Show next.
You're listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back to the Bill Michaels Show. Radio Joe with you back in the studios. We'll get to Bill here in just a second. But how many of you last night were watching that Saints game? I think we were all kind of getting a sneak peek at what we were going to expect in this big Sunday night football clash coming up on Sunday. And a few different things that I took away from it, and I'm looking forward to hearing what Bill has to say. I think the most obvious thing last night, and we saw some of this last year too, I mean, Drew Brees, I think age is starting to catch up with the guy. There's just some things going on right now when it comes to his decision-making that has been questionable. There have been passes he was trying to throw last night that were way off target. I think not having Michael Thomas certainly hurts things as well. They've got a lot of talented young wide receivers. It's just I don't think the chemistry is fully there between those receivers and Drew Brees. And it was really surprising last night that one of the vets they have on that wide receiving core, Emmanuel Sanders, I mean, he was non-existent. I mean, I'm surprised that that guy wasn't targeted more in that game and wasn't making more plays. I mean, that's part of the reason why you brought him down. So that's everything that's going on there, and Bill Michaels is back, I believe. Hello, Bill.
I am. Thank God we got backups, right? Backups, generators, all that kind of stuff.
What
all
happened?
Of a sudden, I'm sitting here, and all the lights went out.
Really?
All the lights went out.
Oh, man.
Yeah, in my neighborhood. Everything just went out. So I looked across the street and lost everything. And a year ago, I bought a generator just in case. And so I went out, pulled the cord, put the plug in, and my pack is working now. And I've got internet through. The amazing thing about what we do is, for those that don't know, is we can do these on those jetpacks. You get a really high-speed jetpack of, I think it's 60 megs download and 20 megs upload, and we can do the show. And it sounds as clear as a bell for the equipment that we use. It's amazing. And so that's what I had to plug into. I am completely 100% wireless, short of the plug that goes into the generator. There is nothing that's wired up to anything right now, short of my headset into the unit that we broadcast with. So that's even, you know, rebooting itself as far as the power goes for the power cord, because it's got a battery pack to it. So it's weird. But yeah, all the lights went out. I was watching ESPN, Stephen A. Smith in mid rant about something, and all of a sudden everything just went cold. So there you go.
Yeah.
Anyway, last night, I agree with you. I sat there and was tweeting last night, and I said, "Whoa, wait a minute." I was watching that game, and I was watching Alvin Kamara, and that guy's a running back. I mean, that guy is all over the field. I'm watching him do everything. He's juking. He's catching passes. He's all over the place last night. And all I kept thinking was how are the Packers going to stop him? Now, they did a pretty solid job of it last night. As a matter of fact, the Las Vegas Raiders got their bearings under them, they played pretty well defensively. 34-24, the final in that contest. And Kamara yesterday, 13 carries, and he started out running wild. He got that big 21-yard carry, and you thought, oh, my goodness. And then they kind of shut him down. They spied him out of the backfield with a linebacker. He still ended up with a couple of touchdowns on the day. And don't forget, 9 catches for 95 yards. That's what I'm saying. He doesn't have to just run the ball. This is very similar to what Aaron Jones is looking at. You know, if you look at the numbers. So yesterday he ended up with 164 yards total offense, averaged 6.1 yards per carry, 10.6 yards per reception, had longs of receiving yards of 20, long of 21 for the run, had 2 touchdowns out of the run game yesterday. Drew Brees did throw the pick, didn't have a great game, 26 of 38, 312 yards, but it was Jacobs last night running well. Richard with that big 20-yard scamper into the end zone for the touchdown. And then Derek Carr, 3 touchdowns, didn't turn the ball over. And in a tight game like that, when it comes down to turnovers, usually you're going to lose. And Waller's a beast, by the way. Man, he's a beast. Over the middle, he's just all over the place. But just when he goes over the middle, he is so tough to bring down. 12 catches, 103 yards, and a touchdown if you had him in your fantasy league. But I sat there and watched the New Orleans Saints. Now, the red zone play was not good. Their numbers were a little better, but their red zone play was still not good. When you know me, I always look at third down conversion percentage. The Saints were 64% converting on third down. How do you lose a game when you convert 64%? But they lost the time of possession. A couple of big drives by the Raiders. And the Raiders, by the way, were just as good. They were 59% converting on third down. But they dominated time of possession, 36-18 to only 23-42. And the scoring drives by the Raiders. Raiders went on a long one. 11 plays, 63 yards, 6-18. 11 plays, and that was to put them on the board. And then after that, the Raiders go 10 plays, 75 yards, just under 4 minutes. The next one, 8 plays, 31 yards. Well, that was a fast one, though. That was getting down the field just before half, so that was in 48 seconds. But after that, it's 9 plays, 75 yards, 5 minutes. 10 plays, 89 yards, 4.5 minutes. I mean, they went on some long drives yesterday, the Raiders did, and just kept the ball out of the hands of Drew Brees. So that's the way, if the Packers are going to get a win, that's the way the Packers are going to get a win. Long drives, run the ball, ground and pound, dink and dunk, get rid of the ball. The one thing noted last night during the broadcast was there is a progression in the NFL for quarterbacks to get rid of the ball quickly. Remember, Aaron Rodgers got rid of the ball the fastest of any quarterback in week one, 1.79 seconds. He was unbelievably effective and let the guys do what they do with yards after the catch. That's the trend right now, and Aaron Rodgers has, I'm not going to say he's bought into it because he's always known it's been there, but I think the trust level is what he's buying into, is that he can get the ball to Aaron Jones, he can get the ball to Devontae, he can get the ball to Alan Lazard, and start just getting these guys the football and letting them come up with the extra 2, the extra 4, the extra 10 yards, and that'll keep the sticks moving, which ultimately gives, you know, Aaron a higher completion percentage, much better stats anyway. But just in general, I mean, it's just he's been so much better with that the first couple of games. So that's one of the areas that I'm looking for. If the Packers are going to win, Aaron gets rid of the ball quickly, doesn't allow the pass rush to get to him, and they're going to have to be able to keep everything defensively in front of them, which is a monumental task when, you know, you don't know if you got Kenny Clark back. Monumental task, because you're going to have to be able to hit, tackle, and keep things in front of you and not let those guys get behind you. And you've got to have somebody spy Kamara, because he's their offense. He's all over the place. He's their offense. 855-830-8648. 855-830-8648. Give us a shout again. 855-830-8648. You want to hit us up, please feel free to go ahead and do so. This portion of the program, by the way, brought to you by our good friends over there at Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, they have the 555 deal. It is back, by the way. And not really back. They just extended it through October 15th. So we know it's getting cooler at night. We know that fall is here. Today is the start of fall, Joe. Am I correct in saying that?
Yes.
Do you know? God, that makes me sad. It just does. I'm a summer person. I love summer. I love the fall and bonfires and stuff, but I'm such a summer person.
Yeah, but the weather is going to be beautiful all week, man. It's going to be in the 70s. I think it's supposed to crack 80 today in southeastern Wisconsin, so I'm not complaining. Yeah.
I think next week the bottom drops out. I think we got a couple of days highs in the 50s. So enjoy it while it lasts, I guess, is the best way to put it. But, yeah, it's going to be here. The cool weather's going to be here. And if you've got leaky windows, leaky doors, doors that don't lock, windows that don't lock, the 555 deal has been extended. 5 years, no interest, no payments for 5 months, plus 5% bonus savings. That is the 555 deal. The bonus savings, by the way, applies to windows, doors, and installation. So the old windows, the old leaky patio door, get rid of it. Don't put it off any longer. Replace them now. Get 5% bonus savings on top of 5 years, no interest, and 5 months before your first payment. That's not until at least February 2021. Pella now, pay later, plus bonus savings if you order by October 15th. Stop by your nearby showroom or the Pella Experience Center, or set up your free consultation right now at PellaWI.com. That is PellaWI.com. Jack writes us in one of his email inbox, I was watching the same thing you were last night. Kamara really scares me, although they don't have as good a defense as I thought they had. I think the Packers can get them. Packers 27, Saints 21. You know what? If it plays out like that, I will take it. Make the Packers 3-0. Most people seem to think over the next three games, as you got Drew Brees, Matt Ryan, and Tom Brady to face, most people seem to think this is the loss that everybody chalked up the Packers first and or second loss of the season to be, this one going down to New Orleans. Now, at the time, we thought they'd be going into Houdat Nation in that crazy loud dome, and it's not going to be that way. But still, I think it's going to be still a very tough road trip. But this is the one that everybody seemed to point to and say they're going to lose. Now, what happens if they win? Do you then become that staunch believer that the Green Bay Packers are indeed starting off 2-0 and now 3-0 for real? And that's what swings you over to the side of going, you know what, why not the Green Bay Packers when you talk about winning a championship? There's a lot of season left to play, but why not the Packers? We'll get into that coming up a little bit later on with Ryan Wood as well. Stay tuned. Mo Egger from ESPN 1530 in Cincinnati, going to give us a lowdown on the Brewers and the Reds, and we're going to talk with him about the race and the chase all the way to the finish line of what this baseball season has been. Stay tuned. We got more of the Bill Michaels Show coming up after this.
Border to border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Peace up, A-Town.
We're back. Glad to have you. The Bill Michaels Show. We continue on this portion of the program brought to you by our friends at Epoxy Flooring Done Right. Epoxy Flooring Polyurea Coatings all over the state of Wisconsin. Warranted for life. Different colors, different finishes. Residents, business owners such as a showroom or industrial, they can do it all. That is our friends at EpoxyFlooringDoneRight.com. Get a hold of Sean and the gang there at EpoxyFlooringDoneRight.com. EpoxyFlooringDoneRight.com. The Reds get a win, and the Reds now tied with the St. Louis Cardinals for second place in the division, even though they don't have identical records, both 4.5 games behind the Cubs. The Brewers fall last night. Woodruff throws a pretty solid game, and after that, it was just not good once Woodruff left the hill. The Brewers now 5.5 games back, a game behind Cincinnati and St. Louis. And to talk more about the matchup, the season, the division, our good buddy Mo Egger from ESPN Radio down there in Cincy. Mo, how you been, pal?
I am great. I hope you didn't have me on to explain the National League tie-breaking procedures.
That I did not. I did want to know, correct me if I'm wrong, I heard they did not have a Oktoberfest down there this year?
Well, they had a virtual one. Did not have, you know, the big celebration downtown Cincinnati, which is, it's always billed as the second biggest Oktoberfest in the world after Munich.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We didn't do that. They did something virtually. They had, you know, a bunch of different breweries around town, had small events. But, no, the large-scale event that's sort of the cornerstone of, you know, late summer, early fall in Cincinnati did not happen.
Yeah, that's disappointing. I read that, and I'm like, oh, I couldn't believe it. Made me sick. Hey, let's talk about these two teams. Look, the Reds are starting to get at least, I don't want to say hot, but at least playing much better than what they were. The Brewers, they battled back. They swept over the weekend. They come out yesterday. They just seven times this season. They've yet to get over 500. Seven times this season they had a shot at getting over 500, and they failed in each attempt. So what are the Reds doing right now that the Brewers aren't?
I think their starting pitching has actually gotten better. You know, you and I have talked. The backbone of this team, the reason they were able to stay somewhat afloat while the offense was dormant for most of the season was their starting pitching was really, really good. Trevor Bauer leads that conversation. Sonny Gray's been a big part of that. But you saw last night Luis Castillo was outstanding, and that was his third straight start where he was – so Luis Castillo, that coming into this season, we were hoping the Reds would get, and quite frankly, for his first, you know, whatever it was, six, seven, eight starts, he was average. In fact, sometimes I think he was pretty below average. Last night, with very little margin for error, he was fantastic. The previous start, which was a game kind of like last night, he wins 1-0 over Pittsburgh, so he's risen to the occasion. Tyler Mahle is a guy who's in the toddler stage of his big league career. So far, that's been defined by inconsistency. He's pitched really well. And they've gotten a couple of what they thought were going to be bullpen days where Michael Lorenzen came out of the bullpen and gave them some length, pitched really well. Offensively, they're better. They're not great. They're not putting up huge run totals. But they've gotten more timely hits, and they have figured out a way to manufacture runs a little bit better than they did maybe the first six, 7 weeks of the season. Shogo Akiyama, who's a player they acquired from Japan in the offseason, who for the first maybe month and a half, maybe even 2 months, was not especially productive at the top of the order. He's done nothing but get on base really since the beginning of September. So those have been the real keys. And, you know, all along we have said if this team can somehow get to the postseason, if they can just get there, if Sonny Gray comes back healthy, and that's a big question because we'll see him tonight for the first time in nearly 2 weeks. If Sonny Gray comes back healthy and you can go into a series, let's say it's against the Dodgers, and you could throw Trevor Bauer, Luis Castillo, and Sonny Gray in a best-of-three series, you're going to have more than a puncher's chance. So I think there's a lot of excitement, a lot of optimism for what this team can do if they can just get in. But obviously, they still have some work to do just to get in.
I look at the Cubs after that 13-3 start. They've been somewhat vulnerable. The best team in the division right now is who?
I think the best constructed team top to bottom is still the Cubs, but I certainly don't feel as good about that as I did after the first, you know, 20, 30 games. I have a hard time saying it's the Reds because of how inconsistent they've been offensively. I have a hard time saying it's the Brewers for basically the same reasons. And I really can't say it about the Cardinals in large part because but by the time this season ends, if the St. Louis Cardinals are in the postseason, I don't know if that team collectively is going to be gasping for air. If they can somehow get in, nobody here, and I'm sure nobody in Milwaukee is going to want to hear me say this, I know the schedule has kind of broken their way because they've had to play a bunch of games against the Pirates and now the Kansas City Royals, but if they can somehow get in, at the end of a stretch where they've had to play all these doubleheaders, that's a major, major credit to that team. But I still think in terms of the best constructed team and the team that I would say has the best chance of going deep in the postseason, I'd still have to say the Cubs.
I look at the pitching, and I think the Brewers have had solid outings. They just haven't had the bats. You guys struggled. Cincinnati struggled for a period of time with the bats. Have the bats woken up to the point that you have a level of confidence now creeping towards the end of this season? Because the Brewers really have their destiny in their own hands, because the Brewers not only are playing Cincinnati and they're a game back, but they also have five games coming up this weekend with the St. Louis Cardinals. So they have their destiny in their own hands. But do you feel that the bats have woken up in Cincinnati that to the point that it's going to actually propel them past both of these teams if indeed the Brewers and the Cardinals beat up on one another?
God, you know, I would love to say that I did. They're just, and look, I know how baseball is played in 2020. There's a lot of feast or famine teams. This team's issue all season long, for the most part, has been when the ball's not going over the outfield fence, this team doesn't score. They've had a hard time getting consecutive hits. They've had a hard time hitting guys on base for the home runs that they've hit. That can dry up in an instant. And it can certainly dry up when you're not playing in the hitter-friendly ballpark that GABP is. They're in Minnesota this week to play the Twins. That's an area of the team that I just, over the long haul, I don't have a ton of confidence in. Now, you know, again, you saw what they did last night. Moustakas goes deep. Casale goes deep. Suarez hits a Woodruff mistake with two strikes and tries to sneak a fastball by him, and Eugenio Suarez is a guy who hit 49 home runs last year. He's going to make you pay. He crushed that pitch, but you know that those type of offenses at times they dry up really, really quickly, especially against really good pitching. And so I tend to like their chances of still playing in a week because again their starting pitching has been that good, and with the acquisition of Archie Bradley from Arizona, they've got a really good deep bullpen. We saw Lucas Sims last night. You saw Amir Garrett. Raisel Iglesias, I think, has been better than people here realize. But I don't like this team's chances if they have to get into a slugfest, if they have to outscore you, if they have to overcome a major deficit, just because I don't – top to bottom, there's not that many guys who are having excellent seasons. And they have a hard time scoring, like a lot of teams do, but they have a hard time scoring if they're not hitting home runs.
The Reds, Moustakas last night, his bat came alive. He ends up with a big home run late in that ball game. I know he's been really nicked up. This has been a year in which they spent money. There was a lot of optimism coming into the season. You pick up Moustakas. I thought Moustakas would have a masher of a year, but he just has not been able to get on track because of the injuries, correct?
Yeah, I think that's been a huge part of it. You know, he had one of the best opening day debuts in the history of the franchise. He homered, he had three hits, and you kind of went, okay, here we go. And then, you know, he missed some time because there were concerns about COVID-19 among the team early in the season. That got nipped in the bud. He's been hit by a couple of pitches, been dinged in the ankle. So he's had a hard time being 100%. And then when he's been healthy, like a lot of guys on this team, you know, really especially in the middle of August, he just didn't hit. I mean, he just didn't hit with any amount of regularity. And you could say that about everybody. You could say that about Nick Castellanos. You could say that about Joey Votto. You could say that about Nick Senzel when he's been healthy. You could say that about Shogo Akiyama. You could certainly say it about Eugenio Suarez. But, yeah, that was a big moment for him. That was probably his biggest moment in a Reds uniform beyond opening day. There simply haven't been many of them. I think if you look at the names in this lineup, you go, wow, there's a lot of potential there. But we just really haven't seen that potential be completely realized for an extended period of time this season. And Mike Moustakas having a year that has been, I think, below expectations for a variety of reasons has been a major reason why that's been the case.
Tell me what kind of a season this will be as far as the expectation goes at the beginning versus the outcome if this team does not make it to the postseason.
I think before the season was short, you know, before March, the expectation was, remember, Bill, this is a franchise that hasn't advanced in the postseason since 1995. You and I were working together.
Right, I know. So, God, that's so terrible.
Mark Schott was the owner of this team. They were playing at Riverfront Stadium. It's been that long. So they spent $164 million in free agency, not simply to get to the postseason. The idea was end the drought, advance, especially with the starting pitching that they, you know, that they had, Bauer, Castillo, Gray. That is a trio of pitchers that you go, okay, if we can get to October, we can win a series. So I think given the history and given the money they spent before COVID-19, the idea was you got to get to the league championship series. And let's face it, it's not like they spent a bunch of money on dudes for one season. They're going to bring back the majority of this team in 2020. So I think the idea this season was 2020, take that first step, get to the league championship series, and then maybe you build on that success. We can talk about a team that can maybe win the whole thing in 2021. I still hold them to that standard, which means now we have this added layer of postseason. So if they win a wild card series, let's say they win a 2 out of 3 series, technically that's postseason advancement. But all it does is it puts them basically at the beginning of the postseason for what we would have in a normal year. I think you're following what I'm saying. I think you still have to win that series. I still think you have to get to the league championship series for most Reds fans to feel really good about this season. I still think that's the case. Clearly, let's say they win a wild card series, they're going to hang their hats on, hey, we finally did it. We finally made it past our first round of the postseason. But I don't think, again, I don't think they spent the money they spent in free agency and assembled this club with the idea of, all right, let's lose a best-of-5 league division series. I think they've got to get to the LCS to really get the return on investment they were looking for.
Yeah, I know they got Moustakas down there, and I still think he's going to rake. They got Votto locked up. They got Suarez locked up. They got a lot of guys, a lot of cornerstones for that team. That's just, it's going to be an interesting offseason. Mo, it's always a pleasure, buddy. Stay safe, and we will talk to you soon, okay?
All right, Bill, thanks.
Talk to you, pal. There you go. That is our buddy Mo Egger from ESPN Radio down in Cincinnati, and giving us a lowdown on that team. And, boy, I tell you what, he is right. This team, they spent a chunk of change. Remember Joey Votto? Making that contract of $168 million. Moustakas gets the $46 million deal. Trevor Bauer with a $40 million deal. Castellanos with a $30 million deal. They got a lot of those guys, man, that just, and just, it's not happening. It's just not happening for that team. They seem to be a little bit snake bit themselves. Now we'll see if they can actually pull it out, but hopefully they don't do it over the Reds. The Reds if the Brewers get a win today, win tomorrow, you're good with it. You move on, you get into St. Louis, and then you control your own destiny. And if they win today and win tomorrow, the Brewers will be a game over 500. How about that? This portion of the program being brought to you by good friends over there at Quick Trip. Quick Trip right now, don't forget, they have got the pothole pizza. That is the official pizza of your Green Bay Packers. You can enter the Packers opening drive sweepstakes and could win the 2021 Chevy Trailblazer. Those things are sweet. Enter the sweepstakes by purchasing a 20-ounce Coca-Cola or the pothole pizza with your Quick Rewards card at Quick Trip. And you can purchase both a Coca-Cola and a pothole pizza. Together, you get 10 extra bonus entries. How about that? Each weekly winner going to have a chance to win $25 per yard in the Packers opening drive. Plus, you are then entered to win that sweet 2021 Chevy Trailblazer. No purchase necessary. See store for details. The pothole pizza is the official pizza of your Green Bay Packers. A really, really sad story coming out of New England. We're going to talk about that when we come back, hear from Mike Clemens as well. And don't forget, Adam McAlvey with some more baseball chatter coming up after the top of the hour. He'll join us. Stay tuned. More of the Bill Michael Show is next.
16 stations strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Now, a green and gold update brought to you by Concordia University, Wisconsin Veterans Services Department. Learn how to use your military benefits at cuw.edu/veterans. Here's Mike Clemens.
The Packers reviewed the film of their win over the Lions. Wide receiver Devontae Adams sidelined in the fourth quarter with a hamstring injury. Head coach Matt LaFleur.
I know he wanted to go back in the game. I just told him, hey, let's see how these next few series go and see if we need you, because obviously he's a huge part of what we do offensively and key member of this football team. So if we don't need him, I mean, we didn't want to put him back in a position to do further harm to his own body.
Running back and kick returner Tyler Irvin may have suffered a concussion. Up next, the Packers travel to New Orleans to face the Saints on Sunday Night Football. Do players like primetime games? Defensive back Kevin King.
Oh, yeah. All the Sunday night, Monday night, those primetime games, when player technique and the players are going to come.
In Green Bay, I'm Mike Clemens on the Bill Michaels Show.
Welcome back. Bill Michaels Show. We continue on. A tragic news coming out of the world of football over the weekend, where James White, the running back for the New England Patriots, his father was killed in a car crash. And just an awful, awful thing. He found out earlier that day, as a matter of fact, when his father had passed. The Miami-Dade police captain and the father of the NFL player were both killed, as a matter of fact. So a tragic, tragic day. Captain Tyrone White killed in an off-duty car crash early Sunday. And White, who, as we mentioned, the father of the NFL running back James White of the New England Patriots, both pronounced dead on the scene. His wife Lisa, who was also in the car, and another person were also airlifted to a hospital. They remain hospitalized. Deputies came to the scene of the two-car crash in Cooper City, Florida, the Broward County area, where they found one car flipped over and the other one was on fire. And first responders provided the emergency medical assistance, got the fire out. But for James White's father, it was too late. James White listed now as inactive for his team's game against the Seattle Seahawks on Sunday night, and yet to find out what they're going to do. But right now, football is the least of concerns when it comes to the White family. James White, obviously, We know James White as the running back of the Wisconsin Badgers, and a tragic, tragic thing happening over the weekend down there in Florida. So your heart goes out to him and his family, without a doubt. We're going to talk some baseball when we come back. We're going to take a quick break. Adam McAlvey of Brewers.com and MLB.com, the author of the Brewers, Milwaukee Brewers at 50. Adam is going to join us. Stay tuned. We got a lot more of the Bill Michael Show coming up right after this.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.